start shifting, you'll see, from more into the practical side. And this passage kind of bridges between the doctrinal and the practical. But just the first two verses, so packed with truth. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So tonight we're talking about peace and access. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom and use your word in our hearts tonight as we study the word together. And guide us in your truth, and may you be glorified through this time. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this first part, justify, we studied that in detail, especially in chapter 3. Let's just turn back there quickly and review verse 26 of chapter 3. It says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Verse 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Justification, a beautiful doctrine where God actually declares us just based on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, his righteousness. We are declared just, as we saw, without works. It's not based on the law. It's not based on anything we do. It's based on when we trust Jesus Christ. God declares us just. We are justified, as we see here in Romans 5:1, by faith. Therefore, because we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, we studied the peace of God a few weeks ago on Sunday morning. This is a different peace. This is the peace with God that we obtain the day we get saved. This peace was lost in the Garden of Eden. Up until the fall, man and God could walk together in the cool of the day in the garden and fellowship one with another. After sin happened, Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden and banned from the garden, and that fellowship went away, that one-on-one, face-to-face fellowship. Now man was at enmity with God. Now man was literally the enemy of God. And Jesus broke down that wall and restored peace with God. So let's look at that. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 14. So the peace of God is what we talked about recently, where God gives us peace in our hearts, those of us that are Christians, when we rely on Him through the Holy Spirit. But peace with God, which we're looking at here this evening, this peace, again, is the reconciliation. Notice Ephesians 2, verse 14. God says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So notice we read there about the wall of partition. That wall is sin, of course, that went up when the fall happened. And Jesus, as it says there, he broke it down. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 15, he abolished the enmity. That means the lack of peace between man and God, that we were at odds one with another. And as we read in verse 16, he reconciled us to God, bringing peace. Now look in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Notice again, it says there, having made peace through the blood of his cross. by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So notice that this peace that we're talking about tonight was made through the blood of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ brought peace. And then again we see this word reconcile again. So mankind was reconciled, or reconciliation was available to mankind through Calvary. Not all people have been reconciled. That's not true until we get saved. But once we do get saved, that reconciliation is available, and now we have peace with God. If you go to Romans 10, I'll show you something interesting about the gospel that we preach. In some places, it's referred to as the gospel of the grace of God. But in this passage, Romans 10:15, I want you to see, it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." So here, the gospel that we preach is referred to as the gospel of peace. Why is that? Because when we preach the gospel to the lost, we're offering reconciliation with our Creator. We're offering, through the gospel, through trusting Christ, peace with God. So it's not only the gospel of the grace of God, because we're in the age of grace, but it's also the gospel of peace. And when we share the gospel, we're offering that peace through the gospel to the lost. So we have peace with God. We've been justified by faith. We now have peace with God. And then he says in verse 2, "By whom also we have access by faith." So it says in verse 1 that we're justified by faith. Here in verse 2 it says we have access by faith. So going back now to the enmity that was there, God's display of that enmity was the veil in the temple. Only once a year, remember, the high priest would enter from the holy place into the holy of holies with, of course, blood, and make reconciliation or atonement, if you will, for the people, though the peace still wasn't there because Jesus hadn't died yet. And when Jesus did die, if you go to Mark chapter 15, God did something very interesting and with a very powerful message to that veil at the temple in Jerusalem. Now, this veil was 2 or 3 centimeters thick. This thing was interwoven fabric. You can imagine like a rug, a super thick rug, thicker than that. And it was hung, you know, on rings. And it was nobody was allowed past it except the high priest once a year. And notice here, Mark 15, verse 38, "The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." In Mark, is it Mark 15, 38? Did I say Matthew? Sorry. Mark 15, 38? Is it the right? Okay. I write down the wrong thing all the time. Who did this? This God did this. When Jesus died on the cross, God reached down and miraculously tore that veil from top to bottom. He was making a statement, amen, that the veil is gone. In the Old Testament, the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies once a year. You and I can enter into the Holy of Holies every minute of every day because we have peace with God. Because we're justified and at peace with God, as we see here in Romans 5:2, we now have access. This word access is important. Access to who? Access to God. Access to our holy God who dwells in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And we have been given access. Not because we deserve it, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been given this access. Notice Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, where God explains the means of the access. Hebrews 10:19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We're told Hebrews 4:15 to come boldly into the throne of grace, right? Or 4:16. It means that we have access. And as we read here in Hebrews 10, it's by the blood. Not the blood of an animal that the high priest would bring, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was applied to our account when we got saved. And because we have been justified and now have peace with God through Jesus Christ, we also have, as we read here, access by faith. Access to Almighty God. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Holy One that dwells between the cherubims, that dwells in the holy place. We have access. One more verse, Ephesians 2:18. The Bible says, for through him, talking about Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Remember, the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit helps us with our prayer life. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when we do enter the Holy of Holies, the Holy Spirit takes our prayers, which aren't perfect because we're imperfect, and makes them acceptable to a holy God through the blood. So much in this passage. He says, therefore, because we're justified, which he's been talking about in chapters 3 and 4, because you're justified now, you have peace. You've been reconciled to your Creator, which again was lost for 4,000 years and wasn't available until Jesus said on Calvary, it is finished. When he did, we were given peace with God. We were now at peace with him, where before we were at enmity with him, not only as a race, but individually. And then, because of that, we now have, as we read here in verse 2, access. Access to the Holy of Holies in heaven, not the one in Jerusalem, because there isn't one in Jerusalem. That temple has been overrun by another group. We have access to the Holy of Holies in heaven. And then he finishes there, Romans 5:2, by saying, into this grace wherein we stand. We stand in the grace of God, and because we have peace and access, we stand by his grace and we rejoice in the hope. The culmination of our salvation, of course, isn't here yet, is it? Our spirit and our soul have been saved and redeemed and rescued and going to heaven, but our bodies, still the old body, still has pain, still wearing out. And the finality of our hope, of course, is that we go to heaven and get a new body. Hallelujah. Romans 8:18, if you want to turn there. Paul talked about this hope that we have because we are justified and have peace with God, because we have access. We have hope. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He talks in Romans about how our bodies groans, waiting for that day when we get a new body, when we get the redemption of our body. And so we rejoice in this hope. Go to 1 John 3 and we'll finish there. God talks here in 1 John 3 about how we're God's children in the first two verses. And he says in verse 3 of 1 John 3, and every man that hath this hope in him, what's that hope? The hope that we're God's children, and the hope that as God's children we get to spend forever with him in the glory. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So we now have access to the throne of grace because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have peace because we have been justified by the sacrifice, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, declared just. And as people that are declared just through the blood of Jesus Christ, the wall of partition was torn down, and we can now enter into that Holy of Holies that Old Testament saints were not allowed to enter. We are allowed because of Jesus. We have peace and we have access. What a blessing. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for this beautiful truth. And Lord, may we avail ourselves of this.